Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Blue Chew. Oh, baby, if you're looking to have sex and go all night, at least as long as you want. You know, we've all been like, oh, it's too short. That was Brad, not me. And you want better performance in the bedroom, but you don't want to take those fucking pills or get a doctor visit or make shit weird with your neighbors by ordering the products and having the packaging be all obvious and gross looking. Well, go to BlueChew.com because they got these chewables. That's right, chewables. They're not pills. They're fun chewables. And you take them, and they got the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. They work up to twice as fast, which rules. You can take them on an empty or a full stomach. And it only takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician if you want to get some questions and other info about this product. No in-person doctor visit, which is great. No awkward combos. Just call them up, order them, and they'll send them to you. BlueChew.com, baby. Get a better performance in the bedroom. Your partner's going to love it. You're going to love it. It's going to give you confidence. If you want them, go to BlueChew.com right now, promo code ALN, and all you're going to do is pay $5 for shipping. $5 for shipping to change your life, man, because when you're confident in the bedroom, you're confident in the real world. They're made in the USA, prescribed by doctors, so it's all good, baby. Stop using Cialis and Viagra, because Blue Chew's where it's at. They're chewables, they work better, and they're better for you, okay? BlueChew.com, promo code ALN, and get $5. I'm sorry, all your shipping is $5. What a great deal. Let's go. Make your life better. Make your partner's life better. Feel good. Fuck good. If that's not their slogan, it should be now. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Happy Monday. Welcome back to another episode of the About Last Night podcast. Hope you guys had a great weekend. What a weekend. Holy shit. Kevin and Bean April Foolishness on Friday at the Microsoft Theater. 7,000 people. Met Ray Romano. Guy's the coolest ever. Just what a legend. You know, you do get inspired when you get in the presence of people like that. You're like, you have more money than Jesus Christ. He's like, I do. He didn't say that, but he was so kind and so funny. The show was great. Everyone that came out to the Microsoft on Friday, all my buds and all the fans and all the people that just came to support. And they raised so much money for charity, which is the true best part of that show. And then went straight to Austin Saturday morning and did the Live About Last Night podcast at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival with Jessica Kirsten and Big J Okerson and Avery Pearson. So much fun. That episode will be dropping next week. Can't wait to put it up. What a blast. That festival is just so perfectly run. And did the goddamn comedy jam that night. Sang some Foo Fighters Hero. It's the best. Got to see my boy Chris Redd, John Renitsky, Sal, Volcano, just guys I don't get to kick it a lot with, and just an amazing festival. Austin's the shit. It was a whirlwind going from LA, you know, going to sleep at 2, getting on the plane at 6, landing, doing press, doing the shows, staying up all night, flying to Seattle, where I am right now for a couple days to see the fam and try to wind down, but man, I got 2 days maybe of that, so see if I can soak up the sun show, crow style, and relax for a little bit before it's back to the grind. My album, Read the Room, is out right now. It came out on Friday. Been getting a great response. If you haven't purchased your copy yet, go to AdamRayComedy.com and get your copy of Read the Room, recorded at the Punchline in San Francisco, California. It's got some crowd work. It's got a lot of jokes. It's got some singing improv with Avery Pearson at the end. It sounds great. I'm really proud of it. So go get a copy. iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, Spotify. It's all there. Read the Room, available now. She-Ra Season 2 is out right now on Netflix through DreamWorks. Go check that out. I play Swift Wind, the talking sidekick horse. Tour dates this week. Where am I going to be? I'm going to be in L.A. May 1st and 2nd, doing some shows at the Comedy Store and the Laugh Factory. And then May 3rd, if you live in Madison, Wisconsin, I'm going to be at the Orpheum Theater with Dane Cook. May 3rd, Orpheum Theater, Madison, Wisconsin, with Dane Cook. May 4th, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at the Riverside Theater with Dane Cook. Doing some dates with him, which I'm pumped on. His Tell It Like It Is tour is happening all over the country now. Go get tickets for his shows. I put the links on my site at AdamRayComedy.com. But that'll be the 3rd and 4th, Madison and Milwaukee with Dan Cook. Come out and see us. I hear he's just been crushing it. And then May 10th through the 12th, I'll be at the Cincinnati Funny Bone in Liberty Township, Ohio. May 10th through the 12th, Liberty Township, Ohio, Cincinnati Funny Bone. Come see me. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. May 17th and 18th, I'll be with Adam Carolla at the Brea Improv. May 17th and 18th. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Brad Williams this weekend will be at the Ice House in Pasadena, May 3rd and 4th. And then May 9th through the 11th, Brad will be in San Diego at the American Comedy Company. Get your tickets at at BradWilliamsComedy.com. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for past and present eps. All your ALN merch is there too. ShopAdamRay.com for all of my merch. iTunes, comment, rate about the podcast on the iTunes page. And email us at AboutLastNightPod@gmail.com with your fan emails, where you get the pod, how you got into it, where you listen to it, why you love it, all that jazz. And we'll read some of these emails on the podcast, give you a chance to win some free merch. We've got a few fan of the weeks today. First one coming from Alex from Philadelphia. It says, "Dear Adam and Brad, I have heard of you guys for years on other podcasts and listened to your stand-up online. So when Adam came to Helium in Philly in January, I was psyched to see the show. Helium is my favorite place in the city. I've been lucky enough to see a lot of great shows there. But honestly, Adam made me laugh harder than I have ever in that room. Adam, I had the pleasure of meeting you after the show. When I told you how much I enjoyed it, you handed me a great new snapback ball cap from your merch table and asked me to rock it, which made me feel very cool. I wore it home that night along with an ear-to-ear smile on my face. I've since subscribed to the podcast, and I'm loving it. You guys have a great balance of funny banter and well-prepared, thought-provoking questions for your guests. Thanks for all the laughs, and keep up the great work. Your fan, Alex." Dude, thanks, Alex. Well, I already gave you some free merch, so you're set. But I appreciate the email, dude. And thanks for being a fan of the week, dude. You're an ALN fan of the week. Our next fan of the week, first-time listener, Matt Holmes. "Hey guys, I listened to the podcast for the first time today. I only just joined Twitter and discovered what you're doing. I listened to the Sam Richardson episode because I'm a huge fan of Veep, and the conversation, especially about the WWE, had me in hysterics. Got some very weird looks on the bus while I was listening, and you know how judgmental English people can be. Hilarious. Keep up the good work. Your newest fan, Matt Holmes." Matt Holmes, you're the man. Send us your email, dude. We'll send you some merch, playa. This email comes to us from Luke Singsank. "Hey, Spin Move Ray, huge fan of you and Brad and ALN. My girlfriend and I went to your Thursday show in Denver at Comedy Works. We've seen two other of your shows in previous years and one of Brad's, as well as the live recording of the podcast. And I've attached a picture of some proof. Really appreciate it. Your fan, Luke." Dude, shoot us an email back with your address, and we'll send you some merch, baby. Thanks for listening. You are a fan of the week. Oh, man, here we go. This guy, Jeff McGee. "From Dallas. You may or may not remember me from your Dallas show a few weeks ago. I attended Doug Loves Movies, and you got me into your late show that night. Thanks again for that. Anyway, I actually live in L.A. and went to the West Side Comedy Theater last night to see you perform. Apparently you couldn't make it, but wanted to say hi." Oh, sorry, dude. "Keep making the world laugh. Both you and Brad are fucking hilarious. Hopefully we'll cross paths again. Jeff McGee." Jeff, sorry about not making it. Sometimes that shit happens. But send me your address, baby, and we'll send you some merch, because you are an ALN fan of the week. Gonna get a couple more in here, baby. Andrew Katerba. "Hey, Brad and Adam, my name's Andrew. I love your podcast. Always make my work go faster. My work day go faster. Started listening because I heard Brad talking about it on Jericho's podcast and started listening and was hooked. You guys are amazing. Keep it up." Andrew Katerba, you're the man. Thanks for the nice email. Send us your address for some merch, because you are an ALN fan of the week. And our last one comes from Barry O. "Barry, you're the fucking man, dude. Adam, great seeing you again at Comedy Works. You rock the house. Awesome getting to hang with you after the show. Wish I could have hung out longer, but I had to get some sleep for my new job. Hopefully, I see you again in Denver. Brad, I'm all set to see you when you come back in August. I know you'll kill it. Broncos preseason will be going on during that time. Of course, you already knew that. Thanks again for the laughs on the podcast and the live shows. You guys make everything better. Barry Oliver from Denver, Colorado, with his address included already, just prematurely knowing he's getting some fucking merch. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. And tell your friends, tell your fam, spread the good word on this podcast. And we got so many great eps coming up. So can't wait to release them. Jonathan Kite, we did last week. I think it's his 12th appearance. And boy, is it fucking great. Dana Carvey's coming back. Adam Devine, Brent Morin's coming back. And the live one with Jessica Kirsten and Big J. Okerson will be out next week. But today's episode... Boy, longest intro without an episode intro. Today's episode is Raul D. Lewis. You might know him as Junior Bevel from Cool Runnings, my top three favorite movie of all time. So this episode was a fucking treat for me. Rawl is one of the coolest dudes I've met in Hollywood. Kept in touch with him for years. Works in commercial casting now. Is a comic. Is an actor. And he's one of the coolest dudes you'll meet. And this episode is just awesome. We get the whole story, the making of Cool Runnings, how he got the job, being born in Trinidad. It's the shit. Follow Rawl on Twitter at Rawl, at Rawl TV, RAWLETV. Me at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, and at ALN Podcast. And man, enjoy this episode. Rawl's the man, and I'm just so glad we got so much amazing insight into the making of Cool Runnings, because that movie holds up. Watched it with my nieces. They loved it, and they're critical as fuck. Now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Rawl D. Lewis.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. It's about last night.
107. Wait, well, first of all, before we get into your potential job for Brad,
yeah.
you said I was trying to find that black thing, which I think is hilarious. But then it, and 107 to me feels like not, again, I said like that's Hollywood time.
Right,
but also,
right.
What is true black lateness?
Like, I probably would be here tomorrow.
You show up like, you didn't wait?
Yeah.
Sorry,
it's
dog.
Good? Yeah.
See, that has to be something that, I mean, I don't necessarily get to experience, because this is actually a bit in my act where I talk about dwarves don't have any real stereotypes.
Right.
Ours
right.
is like stuff like, we make cookies, or we grant wishes, or like stuff like that, not real.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
The cookie thing isn't real?
Don't tell Adam. But like,
I've been buying one. I thought I had a freebie here.
Don't trust me. He thinks I'm the guy. But like, I've never had to, so it's a blessing and a curse, because then like, Adam being Jewish, you being black, you have like certain positive stereotypes, but then certain negative stereotypes where you're
right.
I can't be late because I don't want people to think like that. That's the thing for Adam. He's like, I can't have a big dick because everyone thinks Jews have small dicks. So like it's the same.
It's tough.
Yeah,
wait, it's is tough. That a problem?
No comment.
But yeah, how often are you ever aware of that? Like,
I'm aware of that all the time.
It's like,
I over tip.
Oh, really?
I'm like, that's right. Tell everybody.
Yeah. Spread the word.
I'm trying to overcompensate.
Yeah. Because you want to be that guy to where, let's say maybe your waiter or waitress is just a little racist and goes like, oh, God, black guy. Oh, again,
and sometimes
no tip. And then, and then you're like, fuck you. Bam. Who does that? 30%.
Right.
Who tips 30?
Right.
This guy, my people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the new black.
Exactly.
You did post
Obama.
Something. You did post something on your Twitter. I think it was yesterday that just. And your Twitter is great, by the way. People don't follow
you
on you Twitter
are solid
at Rawl TV.
Really?
On social media.
Yeah, dude.
Like your jokes.
You just put got MLK.
Right.
She was so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then you said, like, what was this last one? It goes like, some people have no idea that I'm a comedian, which is fine, but I hate it when those people are sitting in the audience.
That's a great joke.
Yeah.
That's a solid joke. So, like, yeah.
But no followers. I got like 12.
Dude, this is the thing with Twitter. It's like, you gotta, like, you know, like, I've had this problem for a long time where it's like, Katy Perry can tweet like, hey, and she'll have like 60,000 retweets.
Right.
I could tweet like, hey, guys, just chilling with Jesus Christ at IHOP. He told me where the Malaysian plane's at, and I'd lose followers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it's so ass backwards. There's no.
Don't have to bring religion into it, Adam.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Screw you, I'm Malaysian.
Yeah. I am Jesus. You're not with the real one.
Yeah. So it's like, so you have to be good.
Yeah.
On Twitter to get more followers. Like,
do you have to buy followers? Everyone tells me that.
There's people that do that. I know somebody did that. And man, it backfired. Like, oh, you just really? Got all these bots, and then they just like started to kind of, then they started to drop off. Facebook starts to do that too, like filter off the bots, and so then you'll see your like numbers go down. But
yeah,
if you're buying friends, but you know, hopefully you're not doing that.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't care.
Well, now, now you're on the Stellar About Last Night podcast, so we can tell everybody to follow you on social media and have these great jokes.
I'm about to blow up.
What's your process like when you're writing a Twitter joke, or do you just try to be cognizant of it, or you just like, I think of something?
And then, what I do is I think of something in the morning. Maybe I write it. I go, yeah, that seems cool.
Yeah,
write it and then go about my business. I don't even go back to it.
Yeah,
and then later on, I go, whoa. Really?
Yeah.
It's like, damn, that blew, that, you know, that was like
12
hits.
Yeah. Yeah. See, our buddy needs some help. I was fascinated because in doing a little research for this interview, no one apparently knows where you're from. I've read like four. I saw one site that was like, he's from Jamaica. And then one other site said Trinidad. And one site said the Caribbean. And then one site said New Jersey.
So Caribbean's kind of vague.
Yeah, it's just like the general area.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah,
it's Trinidad.
Oh, you're okay.
Yeah,
I'll tell
you what happened. I did an interview for this magazine the British magazine, and I said that back how I got in the movies is that I lied and said I did all this acting in Trinidad, but they quoted it as, oh, he lied and said he was from Trinidad.
Oh, so that created
got all this.
So you said convoluted. That, yeah. So you said that, like, because this is before the internet. So this is before Google. Yeah. So this is before you could be like,
hold on.
Let me look up movies in Trinidad. Right. You're like, oh, he's a big star in Trinidad.
Right.
Fuck yeah, we can get that Trinidad money over
here. Or he's full of shit. Yeah.
He's bullshit. Or they find like one softcore porn in Trinidad, and they're like, oh, he was the boom guy. I guess that's part of the film.
I mean,
he didn't have a boom.
Yeah. The boom guy can mean a lot of things in a porn. Exactly. A lot of things.
It's actually my porn name.
Boom guy. Bring in the boom guy. Yeah.
Boom.
That's what he says afterwards.
The mine is here.
Yeah.
Wait, so when did you start acting?
Oh, like as a kid.
Yeah.
I think I was like my first thing. I was like 11.
Dang.
Just trying to get into commercials and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's at when you're a kid, right? Is commercials.
Yeah.
Like what type of commercials do you remember going out for?
Like gum commercials. I remember just like a bubble yum.
Yes.
Like all this gum commercial. And then I had a accent because I was fresh from Trinidad.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I was trying to do like, yes, I like Pringles. And I don't think we're going to go
once you
that
stop,
way.
You can't pop. Like, it's the other way around, dude.
Yeah. Now, like, now you got to look back and go, man, if I just been doing that now they're like, now I'm seeing commercials where it's like, I just saw one for AT&T and their whole thing is like, just okay is not okay. Like, we're great or whatever. So it's like two men who are obviously a gay couple going like, so you're a babysitter and you're gonna like, I'm like, look at that.
Wow.
That's cool. Like, and we got all these like mixed race couples and mixed race families and stuff. Yeah, but like back
in
the day.
Now it's looking like they're trying too hard. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's like,
here is our mixed race transgender gay couple. That just happens to be. You're like, okay.
Yeah, it's over.
That's a little too much. One's blind.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
God.
Amputee.
Yeah, stop. Stop. Where'd you find these people? My God. There's just one mixed race, blind, transgender person that's like, it's my time. You know, and they have a lisp. It's my time. Yeah. It's like, Jesus, too much. But you're right though. And I mean, we're gonna jump around quite a bit. But
wait, so were gum commercials the only ones, or were there toy ones and
toy? Yeah. I remember like tennis shoes.
Yeah,
toys a lot of toys.
Of course, yeah.
But I didn't really book a lot at all.
Oh, really?
Not.
Did they give you feedback? Do you remember like?
Like
I think
the
it was
accent.
The accent. I think it was like
wow,
I think
it really was.
Well, it was like learn to read.
Wow, that's a big one.
Shit, that's and a like, note.
Well, because my reading, now I can read, but
yeah.
I'm slightly dyslexic.
Sure,
so my reading was terrible.
Oh, yeah, so they're having a cue card or something.
Yeah, so
like,
anything
no
I
shot.
Had to react. That was great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I had very surprised eyes.
So you just found out that the cheeseburger is only $4 instead of $5. And right. So, and holy shit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is.
Wow. Still got it. Still got it.
Wait, did you enjoy the experience of it, like going to auditions? And was it your folks that were driving
my
around?
My mom was the one pushing me, because I think my mom wanted to be in show business.
Yeah. Oh, really?
She was cool. She wasn't abusive or anything.
Yeah, she wasn't that.
Can recall, but...
You like chicken nuggets more. Like, it wasn't that kind of thing.
No, but she would send me, and I kind of was fun. I was a shy kid, so it was like great for me to kind of get out of my shell. And then you'd meet other little young acting chicks.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, do you want to play with blocks for real? Like, that's your pickup line.
Yeah. Did you ever meet?
That was the boom man.
They call me the boom man. Her mom's like, that's not appropriate.
Yeah. Wait, were there kids though? Like, I always remember seeing, and even at times I've been in the office to audition for you, you know, tons of sessions going on for commercials, and I'll see kids that are these like crazy commercial kids. You see them all the time now, right?
Yeah.
That are just like, I saw this one kid once. I was sitting next to him, his mom, and he was just like, he's like, I don't see why I have to dance. He's like, they told me I could sing. I don't want to dance. He's like, this is Pepsi. He's like, dancing in Pepsi commercials. And his mom was like, just shut the fuck up. Just chill out. Like, just do it. It's part of what, Ethan, it's part of the commercial. He goes, well, they didn't tell us, mother. He was calling her mother. And I was just like, dude, I'm one more, like, just you outburst from you away from, you know, hitting a kid for the first time in public.
Like, see, trying that on.
And then I'm just like, what is he going to be like in the room? You know, like, if he's like this. And he was also, part of him was definitely like showing it for the people around him, trying to be like, just cause a scene and like be dramatic for no reason. But
I'm a Mountain Dew man myself, mother.
Yeah, I'll dance for the Dew. I will not dance for Pepsi. Dance for the Dew. Somebody write that down. Mother, get me a pen. But like, did you?
Yeah, those kids scare me, man.
Yeah.
You see a lot. But I mean, I feel bad for the parents.
I know.
When I see those kids. I also feel like the parents, like if I did that, my mother would be like, shut the fuck up. You know, but the parents are like, okay, they're so like kowtowing. Is that a word?
But see, you have the benefit is if you say
some black shit,
you go like, is that a word? And we're all confused. You're like, it's a black thing. For Trinidad.
Yeah, it's probably cool ass slang.
It's huge in Trinidad. It's Trinidad, like, everyone says it in Trinidad.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, I need to be more cultured.
So your mom was encouraging of the acting stuff.
She knew that I liked it.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of shy about it. And she actually got me into it because she worked at a TV station. And
it
was
one of those.
It was like a, like, you know the public access.
Oh, call. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And they did this whole thing where all the kids from would go and say, oh, yes, everyone in New Jersey, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Christmas. And everyone had like something to say, and I had like a lot to say. I had like a whole soliloquy.
Oh, shit.
And then the head of the station kind of took my lines and gave it to his kid, and his kid was fumbling.
Son of a bitch.
I was like, oh, perfect. His kid was like, that's right. And Christmas time. He was terrible. And this is live. And I was like, hello, everyone in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And have a happy holiday.
You nailed it.
I was out. Stuck the landing.
Nailed it. I love that.
Yeah, that's fucking pressure packed for a kid. Like, live, you know, TV. when you see kids that can just like, I mean, and again, you probably see it now that come in, that do just crush it. It's like, dude, I don't like, I remember kind of wanting to do it and did plays as a kid, but like with the cameras and the lights and shit, like that just adds so much.
You freak
that,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always did good ones. It's like I'm like that in stand up. Like I'm always nervous. I'm always still nervous before I go up.
I think it's good to have a little bit of nerves. You know, it makes you raise your game, you know.
But once you pull that mic out of the stand, you're like,
I got it.
It's this thing I've done before.
I've been doing.
Yeah, exactly.
When did you start stand up?
I stand it.
Yeah. It's a Trinidad thing.
Yeah.
That's how they say it in Trinidad. I started standing it up. You're like, what? All right. Yeah. I believe you.
Yeah.
You got to say it with confidence.
You do.
No, I started in high school.
In high school?
Yeah. And I quit like right after I started, like, getting into movies and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't quit on purpose. Like, my agent was like, you know, you should quit.
You're in Disney films now.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't need you on stage talking. Because
you're not
about.
Good when you in
no,
high school.
Dude, yeah.
At least I wasn't. I wasn't.
I'm Where were you performing in high school? At
we had moved out here by then.
Okay. So you moved out here from Trinidad.
New Jersey.
Okay.
So from Trinidad. Yeah. So I'm gonna give you the exclusive because everybody else. Twitter.
Yeah, let's break it down.
No one knows where you are.
All those people have it wrong.
Yeah.
Wikipedia, they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah.
I came here from Trinidad when I was 9 years old.
Okay.
And then we stayed there for a while. Went to New Jersey for I wasn't in New Jersey. I'm sorry. I went to Lowell, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
For like a year. Then came out to California.
Okay. Do people just think you're from Jamaica because of Cool Runnings? Yeah. They're like, he can't be doing a different accent.
Right.
Yeah, there's only one accent.
Right.
Wait, so stand up in high school then was
out here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you would do it like where? Just at school?
I remember there was an improv in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that, but. Yeah, that was there. You seem young.
You
know, you guys, young pups.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. And yet you still look younger than us.
Yeah.
Now that black stereotype you can be proud of. That's a good one. It does not crack. It is good. Holy crap. Yeah.
Killing it. You will play me in the movie about me.
He's that good now.
Yeah.
He's that good.
So
you do
improv.
Yeah.
So I would go nights. Yeah, you'd sneak in. I remember seeing people like Chris Spencer and all those people.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But I would go and do the open mics and practice. And then there were a lot of black clubs like in the hood. You would go down there. And
the Comedy Union? You ever do that?
No, I never did that. I was always afraid of the Comedy Union.
I think the people who run the Comedy Union are afraid of the Comedy Union.
I saw a guy get shot outside the Comedy Union.
Damn. All right, you win.
All right, see that, people? Yeah. Not just a stereotype. Yeah. Someone got shot.
That's crazy. Over like a bit or like...
I don't know. Like, I think it was the owner to shot.
Yeah.
That's a heckler.
He told the guy to get off stage. He's like, all right, I guess I'll shoot him with that. I don't want to... He's running the light, you know? Should I make him see the light?
Yeah.
Do it. Wait, so did you enjoy doing it? Like when you got on stage, was it like fulfilling? Yeah, like
I was afraid of it, but okay. I still like doing it because when you got that laugh and you're like, oh shit, I'm actually, because I was really quiet and shy and stuff.
Did somebody tell you like maybe do this, it'll help you break out of your shell a little bit?
No, I think it was in high school where it was like I was trying to meet girls.
Fuck yeah.
I wasn't getting laid or nothing, man. I was just too quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All that cultural, like, moving around and cultural discomfort.
Yeah.
Sure.
Kind of messed with me.
Did people go out of their way to try to take you in? Anybody at school, like, be like, yo, Ra, like, I see you're kind of... Everyone just kept to themselves, huh?
Yeah, no, I hung out. I would hang out with, like, a group of people. One was gay. One was Persian. Like it was a motley crew. It was like hodgepodge.
Yeah, so you were like a modern commercial.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay, we got the gay guy, the Persian guy, Trinidad guy, we're good.
I was ahead of my time.
Yeah.
So like, how do you guys say Pringles? well, that's cool. Was high school a fun experience? I'm always curious about people out here in the business, like what they...
I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, New Jersey sucked because I was in East Orange, New Jersey, and that was just like, you know, gangster land, man.
Oh, that's where high school was.
No, that was school there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So school there, that was junior high. But when I came to California, it was warm. It was like, you know, people are driving to school. And shit. I was like, oh, yeah, this is my shit.
A lot better.
No snow.
Yeah.
Was it cool? Is that where you got your acting bug too? Just being out here around the business?
Yeah, because back east, it's just kind of like a hobby.
Yeah.
You know?
There's not really anything that shoots. Well, I guess some stuff shoots in New Jersey. I shot some out there a while ago.
No, New York. You always had to
New York.
That's the other thing, too. My mom was like, I'm not taking you to New York.
Too fucking far.
Yeah, so we'll go across the country.
Yeah.
That's better.
And then when I came here, people were like, I saw kids like, oh, I got to leave. I got a Coke commercial. And I was like, what the hell? What's going on out here?
Wow. So you're like, oh, okay.
So I was like, I could do this.
Yeah. And then they'd come back wearing FUBU. You're like, dude, you were wearing Oshkosh Pagosh last week. What happened? Exactly.
One Coke commercial. And,
did you take classes?
Yeah.
When you got out here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a place in Hollywood called Bauman Haller or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was like all these. And that's where I started meeting girls in like other like classes and stuff.
Well,
like
then
I didn't even care about commercials. Yeah. Doing the commercials.
Oh, yeah.
So many girls.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and that helps because now you're in the class together. You have similar interests. Hey, you want to run lines? Which, you know, it's a...
Oh, yeah. Acting class is truly the best place to meet girls.
Like doing coke.
They're kids. It was it was a cola.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it wasn't
running lines, doing lines.
Yeah.
And then what were some of your first auditions?
Yeah. God, let's see. I know there's a lot of McDonald's.
Yeah.
Because McDonald's had like a black. They went after black people hard.
They've shifted urban heavy. Yeah.
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 That was right around the time when they shifted urban. Gotcha. So it was a lot of like dancing and like.
I remember seeing that. I was like, dude, these guys love these fucking McFlurries. They are jumping into fountains and shit. Like I was like
break dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like wow.
Quarter pounder. Gotta have one.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely made it cooler, man.
Yeah.
You know, it definitely made me want one.
It was a lot of McDonald's.
Yeah. Man. What about acting jobs?
Acting jobs, I would go out and like a little. What were the shows that were out back then? Let's see. They were like a lot of sitcoms, UPN stuff, which was terrible.
Yeah.
Almost every show was terrible on the UPN. I don't know if you. Do you remember the UPN?
Fuck yeah. That's what Moesha was on, right?
Yeah. Right. And Moesha and all those, like, and Martin, all the shows, those are the ones that made it. But, you know, like, for every show that makes tons of them.
Dude, our boy Jaleel had one. What was it called? Jaleel White was on one on UPN called.
Family Matters?
No. That was the one that crushed. That was on ABC. Right. But there was one on UPN he did after Family Matters called. Not Living Single. Because that was UPN, wasn't it?
Living Single.
No, was that Fox, maybe?
Yeah, that was actually on a regular station.
Yeah.
UPN, the joke used to call it, it stood for underpaid Negroes.
Oh, shit. I had heard that, and I was in my head going, can I bring this up? No. Can I say this?
I think
this?
You telepathically sent it to me.
Well, that's one. Say it. Well, that's one of my other people's stereotypes, is that we have the... we have the... We have the powers of Professor X, and then you start doing stand up. I read somewhere online that you got booed off stage the very first time you did stand up.
Oh yeah. It wasn't really the it was pretty much close to the first. I did an audition. Mm-hmm. The thing that messed you up when you do stand up, I did good immediately.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I thought that was a good thing, but that was a terrible
thing. Right, because then you think like, oh, it's just easy.
I could just coast.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is great. This is my shit.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But plus I was so meticulous about doing my jokes. Like I did it like homework. Okay. So when I finally went on stage, it was only the jokes I was absolutely sure were going to work.
Yeah.
So I did good right away. And then I did a show. I had an audition. And the audition was like, I did like 5 minutes of to get in the showcase and killed it.
Yeah.
Great. And then they go, all right, cool. But you know, the actual show, you'll be doing like about 10 or 12 minutes. You cool? I'm like, dude, that was like the only 5 minutes I had.
Oh, but that's the thing. Is
but you got to say
lie.
Yes, right?
You always lie.
You're like, I want the opportunity and I'll get better if it doesn't go well.
Exactly.
And like, that'll give me the comfort to try it. But
and the show, but the show was like a week away.
So you're like, I can get five.
So,
more
yeah,
minutes.
I was like, I'll do. And then I went to the show, and it's all black. It is like Negro Night,
which was a failed show on UPN.
Exactly.
Negro Night. Yeah, I never watched it, but apparently not a lot of people did.
Well, how did you scramble for another seven or five?
I didn't.
Oh,
I didn't. I wrote down a couple of things like from some joke books.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible. I was like, I'm not gonna do that. That's terrible. But then when I got there, I just thought I saw it was D.L. Hughley.
Yeah,
and he was just doing all this crowd work.
Yeah,
that was his thing back then. He would do all this crowd
work. He's still great at it.
He's just crushing.
Yeah,
and he's the MC. He's hosting the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
And I go, I'll just do that. This is my dumb young thinking.
Yeah.
I'll just do that. Yeah, that'll like it's that easy. And then I came out and I started doing my bit, and I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. I'm not dying.
Yeah.
I'm getting some laughs here and there. And then, but there's like a definite like difference between my act, and you could tell when my act stopped. And I just paused. And it's a long ass pause.
How are you doing?
Yeah.
Where are you from? What do you do for a living?
Oh my God.
And then
God.
I looked in the audience and I start trying to do crowd work. I go, hey, look at this nigga's shirt. I guess it's all right.
Burn, baby.
Yeah. And then the audience just turned on me. They went,
shit.
Boo.
Yeah. Oh, man.
They started yelling at me and I was like, and I tried to do more crowd work. Hey, man, your mama is not so good looking. Like, I was terrible.
Some would say she's unattractive.
Yeah. I just didn't have the. I didn't have that DL. DL had like he was.
Well, that's years and confidence, and right. you know, just it, so many times of it not going well. That's the thing with crowd work. You got to right. do it so much yeah. to where you just trust exactly. yourself to where you finally go like, all right, I'm going to be able to get out of this or handle anything.
Right.
I've heard that too about black audiences, and we've both done a bunch. But like yeah. that day, if they love you, mm-hmm. they fucking bring
right.
it.
Right.
But if you're not bringing it, or they're not. Feeling you like right. like you said like the booze come quick where it's just like right.
yeah they
the
went
fuck?
from liking me to wanting to kill me and they were just like they were dipping there were like really hot chicks in the audience. I remember mm-hmm. looking at them before I went on stage. I was like, oh man, I can't wait to like after the show I'm gonna
yeah like, ride this wave
yeah. But they're the one that I liked the most, this fine ass, she looked Robin Givens-ish, you
wow
know? She was dipping her napkin in her drink to get it wet, to throw it and throw it in.
What
them.
The fuck?
Yeah, they hated me. That's how much. But wow. I, instead of getting off stage, I shut down. I went into this like, oh, this is not happening.
Yeah.
Mode. Meanwhile, I'm ducking like ducking napkins like the Matrix.
like, wow. That's the one compliment you get. Somebody goes, "Hey man, this set was bullshit, but the way that you dodged that yeah. napkin drink was pretty yeah. fucking
You're
fly."
Lay on your feet.
Yeah,
it's very important.
I've never seen anyone do it that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You like, move like that.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you recover from something like that? Did you go home and be like, I'm never yeah. doing stand up again?
Yeah, I got off stage. Like, first of all, they had to get me off stage. Like, the guy was moving Jesus. On his there's a guy.
You didn't
moving.
Take a hint. You were like, all right, that napkin drink happens to everybody.
Yeah.
There was a guy with a guitar. You know those? Remember those?
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was coming on. He started coming on stage because like, he was part of the band. He's like, and he bumped me, and he was like, "Nigga, get off the stage." And that's when I snapped out of it, and right. I ran off stage. I was like, "Oh God!" And DL, who's about to come out, so you know, like when the person leaves,
yeah,
the MC's got to rush,
yeah,
right
yeah.
off stage. He doesn't do that. He stops me. He holds me by the shoulders. "Hey man, you're funny. Just get material. Don't you? I know you want to quit right now. I know you want to quit.
Oh man,
because dude, you're funny. You just need material." And I'm looking at him like, "Fuck you!"
Did you not see what just happened?
Yeah. Exactly. I'm out. I'm done. I'm quit. Oh. And he's like, "No, I know you want to." He kept repeating that. "I know you want to quit right now, but wow. don't quit." And wow. then he goes on stage and starts to rip me apart.
Of course, dude. He had
perfect.
To.
And then he told me that, and then and I left, and I was walking outside, and people were smoking, and they were like, "Look, that's that nigga out there." They're still making fun of me, and I had a shitty car too.
Oh yeah,
and they were
yeah.
making fun of my car. I was like,
"Oh God!"
I was like,
"This is the worst night."
He's like, "No wonder you ain't funny, man. Look at that shit. You ain't making no money in comedy.
Even your
huh?
car hates you."
Exactly.
Wow.
Wait, do you ever see DL, or have you talked to him since?
I have
then?
Never told him about that.
Oh man.
Well,
like for some reason, I haven't run into him. Yeah. But I know I'll run into him. And I'll have to.
Yeah. I bet he's seen you. I bet he saw Cool Runnings.
Yeah, probably.
Fuck yeah,
he had to have.
Now that yeah. story is bonkers.
Yeah.
Right.
Cause
how you yeah. got that job?
Because you didn't go for like a traditional
no.
audition for that movie.
No, I was I was in a play, and I was like understudy in the play, and I mm-hmm. and that's when I lied about I had not enough experience, and I like you know you have on the play programs
yeah
yeah
you have to save
of course your
shit.
Little bio
yeah
I wrote my own bio, and I came up with all the stuff,
dude. We should all pull up there should be a show where people pull up their old bios like their I just saw one of mine a couple weeks ago, and I was like, yeah. oh gross,
yeah.
Like some of the
yeah,
exactly. skills that I was proclaiming to possess, like,
well, like
can rollerblade if needs to,
yeah.
like what I fell down once when I rollerbladed, I could definitely not do that again.
That's what some
horseback
people don't.
Riding.
Yeah, horseback riding. Yeah,
that's what some people don't realize is that when you read a bio of yeah. an actor or a comedian, unless they're like insanely famous and they have a publicist that can do that, it's them. They
right.
wrote that.
Right.
Because I've
right.
had to write my own bio,
right.
just sitting there like, "Brad Williams is one of the funniest up and coming comedians in the business today. Audiences all over can't stop talking about his wicked funny like
comedy genius."
Yeah, the comedy genius. Like that's the every comic has to write their own bio. It's an excruciating
which is a
process.
Mistake.
Yes,
it's like a mistake to have us do that.
Yes, well, it's funny when you read some bios, and it's funnier when you read bios and you know that the comic wrote that,
right?
Like, not since Richard Pryor has there been such a
yeah,
perceptive
insane.
Comedian. You're like,
the
oh,
white
fuck.
Richard Pryor.
Yeah. The white,
his mom
called.
Calls him. Yeah.
He's been called the white Richard Pryor, which is weird because he's Chinese.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here. Hope you're enjoying the podcast with Raul D. Lewis. I want to take a quick second to remind you about Blue Chew, baby. Do you like sex? Yeah, I thought you did. You're a person. Well, you'll like Blue Chew then. You know what it is? It offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. Because look, we've all wanted to go longer and go extra rounds. Okay, I know I have. I know there's been times when I'm like, hey, yeah, baby. And then I'm apologizing. But at BlueChew.com, you can get the first chewables with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. But they're chewables, all right? You're not taking a weird-ass pill. It always feels weird if you're doing it in pill form, all right? That's what I've been told. Chewables can work up to twice as fast as pills, so that's a plus. They can be taken on a full or an empty stomach. A lot of medicines will limit you, but chewables from Blue Chew can be on a full or empty stomach. So that's great. You don't have to plan that shit out. The online physician consult is free, and it's cheaper than both Viagra and Cialis. It takes only a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician. And guess what? If you qualify, you get a prescribed, you get it online quickly for free. No in-person doctor visit, no awkward conversation. Hey, I can't get my dick hard. The blood won't get there. It's all in my brain and my feet. And the doc's like, what? And you're like, I don't know, man. I was waiting in line a long time at the pharmacy. Blue Chew will ship this shit directly to your door in discreet packaging so your neighbors don't have to skeeze out either, all right? The chewables from Blue Chew are prescribed online by a doctor, and it's made in the USA, baby, all right? Gives you confidence in the bedroom every time. And the best part, your partner's going to love it, okay? So go to BlueChew.com right now and put in promo code ALN and get $5. Only pay $5 for shipping when you use promo code ALN at checkout. BlueChew.com, promo code ALN, and pay only $5 for shipping for your bedroom boost. Come on, baby, it's time. All right, do it. Enjoy yourself, and let the other person enjoy it too. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Wait, so you were doing plays before? That makes sense, because yeah. You didn't just go from a bomb stand-up sesh to... to being in a giant fucking movie.
No. I was doing plays, but I wouldn't have big parts. But I remember this play was on Melrose, and it was like all these people. I remember Don Cheadle, who was kind of starting to blow up.
Dang, okay. Was in it?
No, he came to see it because this guy, his best friend, was in it.
Okay,
and Charles Dutton, all these people were.
There you go.
Were like coming to see the play. Yeah. And stuff like that.
So after that stand up night. You were like, all right, let me shift to acting for a little bit and try to start.
No, I mean, I didn't go back to stand up for a while, mm-hmm. but I kept hearing that DL thing in my head.
Yeah,
like you're funny.
Of not quit. Yeah, okay. Don't quit. That's what got you down the acting train.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to juggle both.
Yeah. And does someone see you doing this play?
Oh, so I'm doing this play.
Yeah.
I'm doing this play, and I lied about all this crap in Trinidad. And so the lady that came to see this casting director, Shimin Bernard is her name. Mm-hmm. She came to see her and her assistant came to see the play. And they saw, and it happened to be that time too. I was an understudy. So the guy who was supposed to play just blew off the play, didn't show up. And so I had to do the part.
All right.
So it was like everything fell into place.
Yeah.
So I'm doing this part, and at the end of the play, like people would. The play was so long; it was like a Shakespeare play, but it was modernized.
Okay,
like it was Shakespeare in the Hood.
That's awesome. From the producers of Boys in the Hood, exactly. Come Shakespeare in the Hood.
Art thou a punk bitch? Perfect.
That wasn't far off, man.
Wouldst thou step back from my Uzi? That's a new take.
Terrible.
The modernizations of shows always make them drag on a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it was long. It was like, it was so long, like during the intermission, we'd lose like 2/3 of the audience. They wouldn't come back.
I got the gist of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she stayed, huh?
She stayed. And then she goes, and then she said, oh, I didn't really like the play. She said to me, and she goes, but I see that you're an actor from Trinidad. So she said, and I'm like, uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah. I hadn't done anything. I had like crazy stuff. I was in the pickpocket.
was nominated for Best Foreign Film at last year's Academy Awards.
Yeah, it was like all these made
Dude, I was in a show at USC called Vinegar Tom, and I remember walking to my first audition, and the guy was like, what the fuck is this? And I go, oh, it was a play. He goes, okay. He goes, this is CSI, man.
Yeah.
He goes, don't care. You think this is going to help you get the job? I go, it was a play about witches. He goes, don't keep telling me about it. Not helping. Well, that's so big that she stayed.
She
said, you could tell the way she said, oh, you're from Trent.
Right.
And then you were like, oh, shit, fly into this, yeah?
Right.
Yeah.
And then she goes, listen, she goes, we're doing this movie about Jamaican. She was trying to be really secretive about it. She goes, about Jamaicans. But what we need is a reader, so she said. Because she goes, you can do the accent, right? I'm like, yeah. She goes, you're from there, right? I'm like, yeah. She goes, can you, I would like to hire you as a reader to come down and make sure these accents are authentic. And I was like, all right, cool. But they were paying me like, I think they were paying me like some FUBU and cross colors. Like, they weren't even giving me money. They somehow had like a sponsor.
We got you a starter jacket and a swizzle stick.
But I was like, excited. Sweet. I was like, oh. Yeah,
I'm in show business.
They're like, we're probably paying you more than Pickpocket did, right?
Yeah. Exactly. You're like, no, yeah, that accurate statement.
So then you get down there.
They go down there and then they start reading with all these people like Cuba Gooding Jr. And it's like,
no way.
Yeah, all these actors.
Yeah, it was a huge movie. I mean, it was like probably everybody was trying to get in for it, yeah?
They were like, I think even Damon Wayans read for it.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't see Damon Wayans, but I was like, I was the reader behind the scenes. I'm meeting all these actors that
for the part of Yulbrunner, probably.
Damon. I mean, but everybody was like, they're reading for everyone's everybody. Accent was terrible.
They were, huh?
Yeah. I think it's hard for an African American to do like a Jamaican accent because it's like. The rhythm's different.
Yeah.
So everyone like just does it like, hey, man. It's all loud and it's not the chill vibe.
Yeah, and there's like a lot of like levels to it. Right, and, like, right.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try it because I just keep thinking like Miss Cleo.
Right, like, who's also terrible.
Yeah, that's a fake accent. But like, so if I do it, I'll be doing a parody of a parody.
Right.
That's not going to be good.
So they were like when someone would leave, they'd be like, how's their accent? I'd be like,
wow.
Yeah, I was like, and then
did you start to pick up that like, oh shit, like. Like, these guys suck, but the more, like, maybe I, you know, if I'm like, oh, that guy's a dog shit. Even if somebody did come in with, like, close to it, be like, nah, he just didn't hit the A's right.
Yeah.
And those are crucial letters.
That's a, like, power trip.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
But, so nobody truly was good.
No. But some people were just good at the scene. So, like, mm-hmm. I was kind of like, yeah. This,
you actors
know.
Good.
And then some people were just already kind of chosen. You know, they're already from like a great agency, so it didn't matter. Like, they'd just come in and read it straight and go, yeah. When you cast me, I'll learn the accent.
Damn.
That's balls.
Just gangster.
Yeah. I wish I had that.
But I had like friends, like, so they said, they were like, hey, is there anyone you know? You're not right for it.
Mm-hmm.
They said that right
back?
They
said that to my face. Like, you're not right for it, but is there anyone you know that you think can nail this accent? Like, because you're an actor.
You're like, hold on. You like run out and you.
Put on some glasses
and a mustache. You're like, this guy. He's great.
He's right outside.
Yeah. I'll get him.
Yeah.
No, but I started calling in my friends. That was actually mm-hmm. kind of cool. And then I would just give them this extra heat. Because readers always read like, you know, mono.
Oh, it's the worst. It's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah,
very Slavic, just dead.
Yeah.
You're like,
and I would just give them stuff. But so they're all sitting behind me.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't see me. So like if it was my friend, I'd give him a wink like, I got you, buddy.
Nice. Yeah.
And I was just on it, like on. I was giving him heat so he could have something to work with.
That's dope.
And that's when the producer, she goes, hey man, this guy's really into it.
Yeah.
Like they were really getting the readers really. So, and the writers were in the other room,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't see the audition, but they could hear
it
seeping into. They're like, who's that other guy? And they go, that's the reader. He goes, shit, when we hired a reader. And they're like, well, I don't know. You know, because the guy who was the head of Disney at the time wanted like they were so afraid of this movie because they were thinking it's a gimmick, it's not gonna make any money.
Yeah,
you know, it's just kind of like, but the producers and even John Candy were like, no, I'm from Canada, this is gonna make some money.
Yeah, dope. Candy was all about it, huh?
Yeah, John Candy was like, dude, I was there when all this happened, so I actually went to the Olympics and saw it. Because it's a phenomenon.
Yeah.
Wow.
People still remember the story.
Right.
So that helped. And people listen to John Candy, obviously.
Well, no.
Oh, shit.
I mean, Hollywood execs, they think they know everything.
I know, dude.
Yeah.
They think they got it. I'm like, They have no life experience.
Happening. I know. Yeah. And it's like they're going off of like what they think and what they've seen before.
And stats.
And also no one wants to be a part of something that like if people were like, oh, this is the guy. And they're like, nah, but we didn't pick him. So it's like, right? Like I'm sure they had some of that where they're like, no, we're supposed to, and going after names and whatnot.
Right.
All
right.
So they started to kind of pay attention to you. By the way, what a great like lesson, by the way. You were just trying to help your buddies out and you got noticed. Like that's a very selfless move.
Throw it out
You know?
It's probably good that they told me that I wasn't up for it.
Fuck yeah.
Because it loosened me up.
Took the pressure off.
Like, okay. I can just
one of my friends is getting in this movie. Yeah. Like, I'm like, that was my
I'm going to get 10%.
Exactly.
Finders.
They'll owe me. They'll help me move. They'll owe me for life.
Remember, I got you that movie.
Exactly.
So do like they come to you and say, hey, we think.
No, then they started seeing everybody. They started closing in on who the people were, and so the list started to narrow,
mm-hmm.
and so then they had a screen test.
Yeah.
And well, first they had a reading, mm-hmm. and at the reading for the Disney exec, because they were the whole time people weren't sure about this movie.
Yeah, now and then obviously they were killing it with the animated features, but there was the weird time like in the 90s, like late 80s, 90s, where Disney wasn't, they weren't killing it with every movie. They were moving to live action.
And they're trying to do Touchstone, like another.
Yeah, like know, it wasn't.
Subsidiary.
Yeah, it wasn't quite working as well. So yeah, of course, they were nervous.
And then also it's like it was under the Disney banner. It's like four black dudes in tights. You know what I mean? So they weren't like, they hadn't done this before.
This is
pre-Black Panther, man.
Yeah. Way pre-Black Panther.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were like not sure. So they had like a reading, a table read, and we had to go in this executive's office, and all the potential actors were there. It was like mm-hmm. Jeffrey Wright. I don't know. You know Jeffrey Wright?
That sounds really
familiar. He's on what's the one with the World, something World.
Westworld.
Westworld.
Oh, he's shit.
He's the dude on Westworld.
Oh shit! Yeah,
he was supposed
to. I'll show you that dude.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He was gonna play Sanka.
No way.
Shit. He was at the reading, at the table reading with me.
Yeah. No way. By the way,
he was great.
I bet he was.
He killed it. And off the record, mm-hmm. it's a podcast.
So it's literally on the record. Okay, no. Let's continue, though.
Yeah, what?
He improvised a lot of lines that ended up in the movie. So they didn't cast him, but they used some of his.
Damn.
Oh, really?
Because he was funny. He was hilarious. Yeah. Like,
But Dougie Fresh, I mean, like.
Dougie Doug was great.
Dougie Doug, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. I show my.
Dougie Fresh. Everybody calls him that.
Do they really?
Yeah, I'm hates sure that.
I showed my girl the movie last night. She's never seen it before. And she fucking loved it. She just was like. And I was talking about everybody. And she's like, I can't imagine. And I'm like, I can't wait to hear some of these casting stories like you tell us now. And she's like, I can't imagine anyone else but these guys doing it. Right?
Yeah, the chemistry was great between all of us.
Well, okay, so were you nervous with the
execs? I wasn't nervous at the table read, but I was doing the table read, and I started getting laughs. Because I was the reader. I knew everybody's part.
You know these lines.
Yeah, I knew this part. I'm just free and loose.
Yeah.
And we're going back and forth. Leon was there, and Jeffrey Wright and I were just bouncing off each other. And we were and after the reading, I was like, oh, that was fun. And then all the executives started to come around and shake everybody's hand. Like, so that's when they started to believe in the movie. Because the table read got so many laughs.
That's awesome.
And then they start.
It's a funny movie.
Yeah.
You know, like there's so much heart, but like. A lot of great lines. They did a good job with like, you know, and obviously the chemistry, but like there's a lot of jokes per scene.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So then they're coming around.
They come around and they start shaking my hand. Like, good job, sir. And I was so young and dumb and naive.
Yeah.
I literally started to say, oh, no, I'm not. I'm just a reader. And then I stopped myself. I go, you know what?
I'm going to write this out.
Yeah, just shut the hell up, Raul. The voice in my head said, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
And I just shut up. I go, oh, thank you. And then that's the first hint when I started going, hey, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I could probably be in this movie.
Holy shit.
Wow.
That's when the realization started to set in.
Yeah.
But still, it was like they downplayed it so much.
And there's so many things that have to happen, right?
Right.
And you try not to get ahead of yourself.
Exactly.
But it's tough when you crush a table read like that, right? You can't start to... Help it fantasize a little bit.
It was fun. And then I started to meet, like, other agents started to, William Morris, other people started to, I started to have generals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So after that table read?
After that table read.
Wow.
So they were like, wait, so who? Because apparently they were going down the list. They were like, oh, Jeffrey Wright, this person, and who is this? Oh, he's the reader. Who's Raul D. Lewis? A Raleigh, is it? What is a Raul D. Lewis?
What is it?
You're like, I'm Raul D. Lewis.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, he's just a guy from Pickpocket. Yeah. What's he doing in L.A.?
And I started to have generals and stuff like. So I my attitude was like, even if I'm not in this movie, I'm already like meeting.
You won.
Yeah, I won already. Yeah. It's gravy. Everything else is gravy.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What a good attitude. I'd be freaking out wanting the movie so bad. Getting that close, but I guess.
Well, now my attitude's like that.
Yeah.
But I hadn't developed any sort of attitude.
Yeah.
Right.
Wait, so then what happens after that?
And then after that, they had like a screen test.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, yeah, hey, they gave me the papers. Like, hey, can you come down for this? They just said, can you come down? We're doing the screen test on such and such and such. Yeah, and I remember it was in Santa Monica. I remember the place. And I came with all the papers to read with everybody.
Yeah.
And I remember the director was walking by and the producer. And they're like, what are you doing with all this? What's all that? And they go, oh, well, I don't have everybody's part memorized. I don't know who I'm going to be reading with and stuff like that. And they started laughing. Like, hey, did you hear him? He thinks he's still reading. I had no idea. And they're like, no, buddy, you're screen testing. And I was like, I knew that. I was like,
I was just joking.
I was just, I'm just playing.
Gotcha.
And I felt like the biggest idiot.
Oh yeah,
I didn't know.
But see, but that's just one more thing in show business. I've seen various examples of something like that where like someone just assumed that somebody told them.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean. But then nobody tells you. Right. Like I've seen that happen on set a bunch of different times. Yeah. I've literally seen someone walk out and stand in a spot, and someone go, you're fired. Like, did someone not tell you?
Right, right, right.
And you're like, no one fucking told me.
Oh, that's terrible.
Like, that's insane.
Mine was the reverse.
Oh, did we not tell you you're hired? Like, that's, that's
was John Candy at the screen test?
No. He doesn't screen test.
Yeah.
He's John Candy.
He was already hired.
But I don't know if he wanted to, like, meet you guys and get a feel.
No. Yeah, no. Well, here's a sidebar. Is that John Candy got hired afterwards.
Oh, wow.
After us.
Okay.
The original person was Kurt Russell they wanted.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
As the coach. Because Kurt Russell, think about it, around that time, he was Disney's darling.
Yeah.
He'd done all this Disney stuff, and they were thinking of him, and I think he did some other coach.
Well, he ended up being coach Herb Brooks in the Miracle on Ice movie.
Yeah.
And that was a Disney thing, but that was obviously
that was
like,
off the dome, man. Yeah. You didn't Google that.
Hey, man.
Damn.
Don't talk to me about the Miracle on Ice. That's like...
Brad played hockey and he was the Miracle on Ice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he was...
That was my nickname. Miracle on Ice.
He was the UPN version.
Yeah. You know those like videos you see online of like, it's the Ohio State football team and they give the ball to like the Make-A-Wish kid. And he scores. That was me in hockey.
Not true.
Scored.
Not true.
Scored every game.
That's a great image.
All kids fell to the side, and they're like, "Okay, so he got a goal. Does he not die now?"
By the way, dwarf bobsled team, great spin.
I mean, come
right?
On.
Yeah.
It's just sitting there.
Yeah. It makes sense.
So they get John after.
They get John after.
You guys screen test, and is that? Do you immediately just all? Is it you four? That are in the film?
Yes.
And you,
everyone from the screen test that were there. And they're the ones that got in. And I think I got it when, I think I nailed it when I did that scene in the mirror.
It's unbelievable.
That was my screen test scene.
No way.
That's like the.
That's the
scene we quoted as kids.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, man. That's you probably awesome. Knew that too. You could probably, I bet you, like, I always wanted to, like, when people see the premieres of stuff, because there was a big premiere for you. Yeah, did you
go?
Like, watching it, like, I'm sure everybody, like, that's a powerful scene. And it's also, like, just the fucking, the back and forth between, what's the actor that plays Yul? Runner?
Malik Yoba.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So dope. Like, the back and forth between you guys is so good. And it was just like.
I've seen that scene copied in a French film. Like,
for real?
Yeah. That scene is copied so many times.
When you Google best scenes from Cool Runnings, that's the top.
Oh, really?
Yeah, literally.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's used as a meme a lot.
Yeah.
I was wondering, how come I'm not getting money for that?
Let me get that meme money.
Yeah, we haven't figured out how to give residuals from memes yet. I'm sure it'll come soon.
Let's go on strike.
I'm sure it'll happen soon.
I just see my sign. It just says Meme Streets.
The Meme Streets of LA. Yeah.
No meme, no peace. Yeah, exactly. Do that.
Was it instant chemistry? Like, did you guys start shooting the shit and like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That scene was that when we did that scene, they were like the camera guy like looked at me, like, you know, yeah. From around, he moved his head from around the camera, looked at me and gave me the thumbs up.
Oh, damn.
So I was like, oh shit, I guess I nailed it.
Yeah.
And it was like one take, boom. All right.
Did you and Malik like talk about it beforehand or what? No, you just kind of go. No. We prep. You didn't work on it together?
Well, we ran lines like lightly in the hallway. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Nothing.
You got pride, it wasn't, you got power. You're a badass mother. You don't, you know,
kind of mumbling.
That's so funny to run through lines with this powerful scene like that.
Yeah. Exactly. And then, but then it just came alive when we got together. Plus, we were already bonding. We were already kind of starting to bond. Sure.
There are so many great storylines in that movie. You know what I'm saying? Like themes and messages. It really is like pretty flawless. I mean, it's, you know, Brad knows this. It's one of my top five favorite movies.
I mean, no joke. If you listen to all the episodes of the podcast, it's not. It's not strange for him to make a Cool Runnings reference at some
my
point
one late night
podcast.
Spot when I did Craig Ferguson, it was one of my opening jokes. I said, like, man, I'm excited to be here. I go, my Seahawks are going to the Super Bowl. I go, I haven't been this excited since Cool Runnings came out on DVD. And everybody was like, that was a great time.
And it's one of those movies where, like, in for that joke, it's perfect. Like you said, I haven't been this excited since Blank Check came out on DVD. It's like,
well, nobody was.
No.
It's a good movie, but everyone's
so weird to me, man.
It is
because I don't think about it until I'm on stage and someone yells out, "Say something about Cool Runnings."
Dude, it's an iconic film. It's also like, you know, I mean, some of the scenes too were like, you know, you guys talking about when the Swiss are like yelling at you guys you know, and it's like, oh, they're just, you know, everyone's afraid of something different. And then Candy has to go into the office like, I know why you're pulling them out because of all this bullshit and don't. I mean, there's just so much, you know, and scene for scene, especially, and that's when I thought, like, oh, like the balance of comedy and heart, too. So what was, when you guys come together and then you realize you get it after the screen test, what's that like?
Oh, that was, I mean, well, first of all, they cast everybody in the movie but me. I was the one guy that were like, wait, you want to put the reader in the movie?
There's probably a lot of pushback, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of pushback. And so I had to go and read again and again.
Wow.
And I had to go. I remember going to the executives. He was upstairs and I was downstairs reading. And this is back when the camera had that little tape you put in there.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
And they were filming, take the tape out and play it in his deck upstairs because he didn't want to see the actor in person.
Okay, so I had to like run upstairs.
I had to wait there, sit there kind of.
As he's watching it.
Yeah,
you can't be like, hey, can I go up there and do like some director's commentary? Yeah, like, exactly. Just kind of be like, yeah. Oh, this guy's really good. That's
not
crazy.
Not since Pickpocket. It's such a great performance.
when did
they come back downstairs after about three times of this, and then they go, all right, well, he's not gonna decide now. They send me home.
Oh, geez.
And I wait for like a week and a half, and that's like the longest week and a half of your life.
Yeah, and I'm sure after like 3 days, you're like, oh, they probably just cast somebody else and I'm out. Like,
yeah, I don't even know what the hell what kind of drug I was on, but I was just kind of happy that I was so weird. I wish I could find that kid again and go, hey, can you be like that again?
Because
I was so like, oh, well, at least I'm meeting with all these agents. I was so matter of fact about it. And I kind of felt like I could never be like that now.
Yeah. Well, because now you've been in the business.
I'm
so
too jaded.
Yeah. You're in there.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But they called me, like, I remember cleaning up. It was like a psychic connection. Like, you know about this stuff.
Well done, sir. Good callback. I applaud that one. That was solid.
But I remember cleaning up, and then I stopped cleaning up. I stood up straight.
Yeah.
And felt like okay, it's about to happen. And the phone rang. And the phone rang, I knew who it was. I picked it up. It was the producer. And she goes, Raul? I go, yes. She goes, congratulations, you got the movie. And I was so like, I was like, okay, cool. And she goes, what? She goes, okay, cool.
Do you realize you were a fucking reader?
Exactly.
Now you're in a movie.
Yeah, you're not a background actor in a Pringles commercial.
One of the four leads?
Yeah.
Listen, has your success in movies like The Pickpocket just like
jaded you
so much?
Wow. I don't know. I didn't know how to react.
Yeah.
So I just didn't do anything.
Didn't seem real, probably.
Yeah, it seemed kind of like a dream, yeah. even though I've sensed it.
Yeah. Do you even
That's
have an
fucking crazy?
Do you even have an agent at this point? Like, who do they negotiate no. your rate with? No. They're like, hey, we're paying you this much. Cool.
Yeah.
No, I had to get an agent after I booked the part. I had to go around. It's the most what do you call it, confident feeling in the world.
When
you've already got the job. And you're like, so what can you do for me?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
My feet up on their
about
desk.
To be a movie star. Like, might get out of your chair for a minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And they're coming. They're like giving you snacks and stuff. Like, it's everybody. Because you're showing up dined, with right? money.
Yeah. You know? We're just getting wined and dined from all sorts of places.
Yeah. It's like, he's got a part in this movie.
That rarely happens.
No. It has never happened since.
What he's trying to say is he really wants some snacks. You can take those. You're fine.
Yeah. How long did you guys film for?
Let's see. It was about 2 months. Mm-hmm. It's pretty short.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and because we trained for like 3 weeks.
Oh, shit.
Oh, sorry, wait. The shooting was like about only 6 weeks. We trained for 2 weeks before. Like, we had to learn how to run and jump into the...
Yeah.
Look like we knew what the hell we were
doing. Fuck yeah, you did. But what it... Was it you guys going... Not going down the fast shit, right?
No.
Yeah, that was...
It was like... there was like a fake bobsled in Calgary, like on tracks, like a train track.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we'd run and jump in it, run and jump. And the guys yelled. It was this French guy who was training. He's like, no. He's no good, huh? Like, he would just yell at us. He goes, no, you have to look like real men. You look like girls.
Like, Jesus. Okay.
He's like, and we had to get it. But the main thing that would happen, because you have spikes on the end of your shoes.
Yeah.
You had to run on ice.
Right.
And when Leon was so damn tall, and also when someone get in behind you, I was second.
Yeah,
if they got in wrong, they would spike you in the shoulder or the back, and so you're like, ow, damn it,
jeez.
But I'm telling you, man, I was weird. I had the best attitude. That I was getting spiked. I was like, no problem. Yeah. Like, I'm starring in a movie.
Hey, you know what? That whole Jamaican spirit kind of got into you. Who cares?
Dude, I used to say, feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, it's bobsled time before I masturbated. Like, that's how much I love that movie. Wow.
That's more than I wanted to know.
It's a joke. It's a joke, kind of. Not really.
I say it during sex. Yeah.
That's the time to say it.
You're like, no, I'm the guy, though.
Yeah.
I can say that.
It works
that.
For you.
And I'm wearing the suit.
Yeah.
That's why she's having sex with me.
Wait, cool. Did they have you guys like hang out pre-movie? Because you said the chemistry was great. Like, did you know the other actors?
You know what? John Candy was great, because John Candy, he came in there and he said, look. He goes, we can all like be actors and like, do our scenes and then go off to our trailers. Like, fuck you and go off to our trailers. He goes, what we should do is just hang out. He wanted us to get a cabin together and all hang out like a team.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great.
He was dope, huh?
Yeah, he was just
as advertised, right?
Just the guy that you see on that screen.
Fuck.
And so he made us, we'd go to his room and he'd give us drinks and stuff. Like,
that's awesome. Wait, is this like some R. Kelly shit?
Yeah.
No. How dare you put Candy in the same?
No. Candy was gentle.
Yeah. Wait, he was a drinker though,
He used lube.
Yeah, that's awesome. Wait, so what, did he give you acting advice, or was he like, because he's a comedy, connoisseur.
Oh, no, he didn't. Genius. He didn't do, you know what he did, though? He made a CD. Mm-hmm. It was back when you could burn these CDs.
I remember those days.
Isn't that crazy? I'm acting like it's the 40s.
It felt like it.
It's a lifetime ago.
He made a CD for each of our characters.
Interesting.
And gave it. He goes, this is for you, Raul Jr., and this is how I think of Jr., and he gave one to Yul Brynner, and all of us.
Damn.
He was just dope, man.
That's
And then he was like, let's hang. He goes, they don't even know what they have. He goes, they think this is just some gimmick movie. He goes, because I'm from Canada, man. I was there. He goes, this is going to blow the roof off.
Yeah. And that's cool to hear, right? Because like you're coming into this being like probably taking some of that vibe that the studio's throwing, like we don't know, like it's a gimmick thing. And then Kane's being like, fuck that, dude. I know what's up. Like this is going to. And so then that hypes you up a little, probably.
It did hype me up. And I actually kind of felt like I knew, too. Felt like, I feel like this is going to do good. I don't know why I felt like.
Just scene for scene, things were popping.
Everything was just. Like, you know, you get end up in those things where you're like, hey, man, everything's kind of working.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It doesn't feel like work. Like, I didn't even feel like I was acting. I just felt like I was just waking up and just
it was pretty
hanging
pretty
out
flawless.
With your friends.
When the movie comes out, what's your first sign that, like, did it do well the first weekend?
It did fine, but it wasn't, it didn't really kill in the box office. It did okay.
Yeah,
I think it was like Judge Dredd was out.
Oh God! Well, how are you gonna go against Judge Dredd?
And we were like on the top three for a long time, so it was doing well.
Yeah.
It went past Disney's expectations.
Okay,
they were like, oh, whoa! I think what happened too is they didn't even do any advertising. It was barely on TV or anything. But what happened was the director told me that they did, like, you know when they do those test screenings?
Yeah,
they did one like in Tennessee.
Yeah,
and it was all these. They said they were like gun racks on the pickup trucks and all in the parking lot. All these pickup trucks in the parking lot, just redneck city.
Yeah,
and he goes, people came in and they didn't show our faces or anything on the thing, and they came in and they saw the movie starts and they're like, what the hell is this? And then he said, but by like a third way through the movie, like the movie, they're like, come on, Junior. Come on, boy.
Speak up for yourself.
Yeah, they're like,
your daddy don't know what's best for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wow. Once they hit like the mirror scene and half of these scenes, they were just cheering and yelling, and that's when Disney was like, holy shit,
we got something.
This is testing high. It's testing that high in the South.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they just last minute try to throw stuff out.
Well, that and like the thing is, it's not like, oh, it's not a black or white thing. It's not a it's not a Jamaican thing. Like it's just those characters each has a universal theme, like kind of like your favorite Ninja Turtle. You can look at like all the Cool Runnings guys and be like, all right, this is the one that's me.
Right.
Like,
I think Dougie Doug is definitely he's got to be the favorite. He's my favorite.
Yeah.
Did you guys break a lot? Were there a lot of would you make each other laugh like scene to scene, you know?
No. Well, here's the thing. When you're not a John Candy could do that.
Right.
But we weren't like celebrities. We had to be on our shit.
Yeah.
Like you get a couple of mess ups and then it's like, all right, dude, get your shit together. Like,
yeah.
But that's for like when you see people doing that, that's actually when they're already, it's their show or they're famous already.
Also, Hans Zimmer did the fucking soundtrack.
Yeah, man.
Like, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That music is like literally, I bought that soundtrack, duh. Damn. And it was, I mean, look, come on, it ends with fucking I Can See Clearly Now, which.
Yeah.
You know,
you
positive.
A classic upbeat, you know, drive along 90s tune. But yeah, Hans Zimmer crushed. I mean, all the race scenes when the Olympics hit, like that shit is so epic.
Yeah.
Like plays into the emotions. That's when I was like, oh, this, I mean, obviously everything was great up until then, but like all that stuff, the way that was executed was.
Plus it was right where it happened. So some of the extras had been there.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, it was in Calgary.
It was in Calgary. And like we were on the same tracks and everything.
Whoa.
Wow.
You could feel that a little bit, yeah.
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 I slept with some of the
with some of the girls who helped de-ice that track.
Yeah. Exactly. The same girls that the Jamaican bobsled team slept with.
Yeah, exactly.
He slept with.
I got sloppy
seconds. Like, no, I'm getting into character.
Character research, baby. Yeah.
That's so cool. Did you ever meet the actual guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were so laid back though. They kind of threw me up because I was trying to use them for like a character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was be like, hey man, what was it like? I mean, from Jamaica, I mean, your first time being cold and your first time going down the ice. They're like, yeah, man, it was nice.
Like, thanks for giving me a lot to work with.
Yeah, all right. Jesus. Yeah. Anything
like,
more?
Yeah, I was like, can you elaborate?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it was good and a good experience. I'm like, okay. Cool.
Academy Award, right. Here we come.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
Let's do it.
Thanks for that thorough
they're
breakthrough.
They're so laid back, considering what they accomplished. Yeah. Like, they were so chill about it.
Now, when is the first time when you realize, like, oh shit, this movie is, like, a phenomenon?
Man, I think, actually, I don't know, man. I think
people coming out of the woodworks, high school, elementary school.
People recognizing
your mom's like finally.
Well, I mean, honestly, it was like, you know how like movies would on 6 months later would be on video's where it took off,
right?
Yeah, VHS, like, even, baby. Even,
like, I've made more money on the rentals than making. I think they paid me like $3 to do that movie. Like, the caterer, the director even made a joke. He's like, that caterer is making more money than me.
See, and that's why we got to keep. That's why we got to bring Blockbusters back.
Yeah, exactly. But when the video rental came, like I would walk in the video store and people would be like, "Holy shit, I'm just about to rent you."
You're like, maybe don't tell a black guy you're about to rent me.
Exactly.
It's not exactly. Kind
Wait,
of
how much?
Back.
Yeah.
I was broke then.
Right? Yeah.
Bad images.
In France, the movie's called Rasta Rocket.
Rasta Rocket.
That's amazing.
That's how I knew. I went to Dougie Doug and I went to France, and we were getting stopped in the street. They're like, people would yell out Rasta Rocket, beep meep, you know, like stuff.
Yeah.
And we were like, what the hell is going? We didn't know that they had, that was the name, and then we figured out later.
You're like, oh, I thought the French people were coming up with a brand new racial slur.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's the new N-word. Rasta Rocket.
Yeah, like, all right,
I can deal with that.
It's a little more positive.
Yeah.
Do you guys still keep in touch?
Dougie Doug and I, we were in Ireland like a couple months ago.
Oh, dope.
And then did some reunion thing. That's the thing about the movie is it's just crazy because years later and then we're in Ireland and people are like signing autographs for like some winter festival.
Wow. Yeah, dude. It's I mean, it's always funny to me to hear people that are a part of such iconic pictures like that that just, I guess, are blown away.
Yeah.
Like you know, like even talking to Jaleel about Family Matters and shit, and he's like, man, I just don't get it. He's like, it was just, I guess, because you live it, so you don't.
Yeah,
right.
It's tough, you know, to
it doesn't affect you in that way.
But to sit back and like watch it at a certain time and like it just, you know, how much impact it's had on people. You know,
I think that's weird. The overseas thing is weird because you know I do more comedy overseas.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dope.
That's
like,
awesome.
Like Denmark and places like that. How's like that? I would never probably be doing. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I want to go over there. It's so bad.
Yeah. Oh, you should go with me next time.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, try travel big.
That's good.
Great.
Let's do a Jew Runnings tour.
Jew Runnings.
I don't know. I'm spitballing here. We can work on the title later.
It just sounds like a Mexican guy trying to say cool runnings.
Oh, yeah. You're running the Jew Runnings? with the slide. With the thing and the slide and the chingarella and the...
Oh, it's freezing up there, huh?
Yeah,
super cold, man.
It's cold, bro.
Mucho frío. Huh?
Yeah, mucho frío, man.
But how do you Jew Runnings? Go movie.
Wait, are you gonna hurt your Mexican audience?
Dude,
no,
they're fine.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Mexicans. I mean,
Okay,
Mexicans have bigger problems right now. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But dude, and you have so and then you appeared in Spy Hard, which is, by the way, going with like going from like John Candy to like Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, those are two of my favorites.
That's insane.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because their attitudes, like, I didn't know, because, you know, we've met celebrities, and you go, oh, man, I'm kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say don't meet your heroes,
dick.
But
yeah.
Those guys are cool.
Yeah, but those guys were, like, they had such a, I think because John Candy was doing a sort of comeback, a resurgence, and also Leslie Nielsen
doing
a resurgence. So they both had, like, dude, we're not curing cancer. We're having fun.
Yeah.
We get to have fun. Wow. Don't tell anybody. Like, we're getting paid for this.
Yeah, no shit.
And he just had the best. He had like a fart machine.
and that's what he called his wife. This is my fart machine. That was my Leslie Nielsen impression. I have no idea if it was good or not.
Sounds a little Sean Connery. Yeah. I like it.
This is my fart machine.
How's my Leslie Nielsen?
Perfect.
It's great.
Don't call me Shirley.
Everyone's got a Connery.
Yeah. So he had a fart machine on set.
He would stand next to you and like they'd be like rolling and go,
yeah.
And he's like, Jesus Christ, Rolf.
Never not funny.
Oh hilarious. My God. I love that story so much.
Dude, that's like, I don't want to, if I get to a point where someone does that to me and I get angry, I know that things are going downhill, you know?
Yeah.
Like you always want to laugh.
Like if I'm in an elevator and a little fat kid farts, dude, laugh.
It's hilarious.
Don't get mad at that kid for, you know, be like, dude, excuse me. Like, I've seen people do that before. We're like, kill fart in an elevator. And somebody's farts like, excuse yourself. Funny. And I'm like, dude, fuck off, man. Laugh. Yeah. Just close your mouth and laugh. You know? You don't have to open your eyes wider. You know? Were you aiming for me, kid? You know?
So you're doing the acting. You got stand-up going on.
When'd you get into casting?
Yeah, because this is your other...
I know.
Job.
Right? You know what? No one knows. Well, you know.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't know because I like it better that, you know, then they don't hit me up every five.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think it's just my side hustle. You know, I just wanted something in the business.
Yeah.
And I actually, because I'm out there with all the comedians, that's how it started. It's like, I remember like at one point Kathy Knowles.
Yeah.
She's one. But I remember a casting director said to me, hey, you know a lot of comedians. I'm looking for this. And then I helped her, and then that kind of led to me. So a lot of times, sometimes I run the session, but sometimes I'm casting.
Yeah.
And it's just people who know that I'm in the scene, and they're not going to go there. It's kind of like how, you know, Jay-Z and all those guys got their own label, because You're like, I'm not going on the Marcy Projects to meet the latest rapper.
Yeah,
right. Get stabbed. Or
But
you're out there.
Yeah. Let me know. Report back.
Yeah. And so I'm kind of doing that. I'm kind of like in the field and I'm out there and I'm reporting back.
Yeah, you're real good at it.
We have a lot of comics and a lot of comics and actors that listen to the podcast. So do you have any tips for people when they go in the room?
Comics always, they're always playing to the camera.
They
break the wall like it's stage and it's and acting is just relating to the other person.
Okay.
But comics have a tendency because, you know, because you're playing to an audience.
Sure.
You kind of sort of play for the laughs.
Right.
And you don't have to.
Oh, okay. Good tip.
Just let the laughs happen.
Yeah.
If you play, as the more real you play it, the laughs will come out anyway. Comics know timing anyway, so you just trust yourself.
Well, my thing is always like having a tough time not improvising off the copy, you know, and like,
oh yeah, because it usually sucks.
Yeah. And so like, and trying to make it better, and like you always hear those stories that are like in your ear of like, do it, like take a risk and whatever, and that's what sticks out. But then you're like, oh, just do the copy because they want to see you can read the copy. Yeah. It's case by case sometimes, right? Like some director might just be like, I like that guy. I think that you got
to
find that
balance.
And
I want to see
both.
And a lot of times you can find out if they're willing to do that.
Yeah.
You can just like, are we sticking to copy?
Just
little code words you can say. And but John Candy taught me something about improvise because we improvise a lot in Cool Runs.
Oh, you did?
Can't even tell. Yeah.
What are some moments?
Let me think. A lot of moments in the hotel room.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of moments when I'm giving up the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I completely am messing up the lines, but that I could, I'm just rolling with it, and you can't, and everyone starts laughing, but they're laughing because I'm messing up the lines, and it looks like we're laughing because we're all having so much fun, and we're Jamaicans. Yeah.
Perfect. Wait, so what can he tell you then?
What I noticed he would do is, if he would improvise, he would leave the writer's line intact. Mm-hmm. But he'd improvise before or after.
Okay.
But keep the line.
So they have the line itself.
So the writer's happy.
So the writer can't
and the director. And everybody's happy. Like, oh, he didn't. He still said, the writer thinks it's his great writing.
Right.
And the director's happy because it's everything's a little.
He gave you something at the top and the bottom if you want to chop it off, right?
Exactly.
You still have what you got. That's great. That's good advice.
But when you change their lines around, sometimes people get nervous.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I remember doing that for a pilot callback once, like severely adjusting the lines and improvising because somebody had told me to. And I just got bad info. And like this writer was just like, and the casting director I knew well was just like, hey, it's not going to happen. Like, I don't know what you were doing. Like, I was like, well, I was told to improvise. She's like, no, this guy was really offended that you barely said anything. Like that you kind of twisted his shit around. And she's like, you know, you were funny. She's like, but not funny with his shit. And I was like, oh, damn, can I come back? She's like, no, he hates you now. I was like, fuck.
Oh, man.
And that guy, Steven Spielberg. No. I've never met him.
Really stickler for the copy.
He can produce Jew Runnings.
Yeah.
So what's this job you have for Brad?
Yeah.
Before we wrap up.
Oh, yeah. It's an indie film.
Done. Ooh.
I haven't read the script yet. So if they say they want a little person, I have to read it to make sure it's not humiliating.
Yes, great.
So I don't go to my friends and then they go, man, fuck you.
Yeah. No, I've definitely gotten a few of those scripts over the years.
Like what?
But what I heard from the guy is the guy's supposed to be, he works at, you know those safe rooms? What is this?
Escape rooms.
Escape rooms.
Yeah,
you okay.
He works at one of those places and he hates it.
That's dude, awesome. Man.
And he has to...
I can hate escape
rooms.
And I
think at one point he goes off on the people.
Oh, yeah. I can definitely.
Brad is
and
great
I thought
at
about
that.
You because I was like, oh, man, I bet he'd probably kill it. That he's.
Fuck yeah,
he's
dude.
He probably went off on a couple of audience members. A
few times in my life.
Oh, yeah.
I've done it. Yeah. I can go off on some escape room people. And they have that movie right now that's out, Escape Room, and it's fucking killing it. So escape rooms are huge.
Oh, great.
I'm in.
You're in.
And that's how Hollywood's
done. That's how it works.
Yes.
That's how Hollywood's done. You have a casting agent on your podcast.
Get a podcast. Having a movie star.
Yeah.
Have them talk to you.
You know, you prove that you can yell at people. It's good.
Yeah, you're good.
What I can't wait to find out that there's going to be one small twist. You're going to be like, and the guy, like.
Yeah. Well, I did say I haven't read the script yet.
Yeah.
And it's a nude scene.
And it is, there's anal.
Does it shoot in Chatsworth?
It's called Escape the Anal. Sorry. Oh. It's one of those escape anal rooms.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
They're new.
Yeah. The dwarf is mad because he fits inside the anus. So he's mad, like, trying to get out. They're trying to escape the room. He's trying to escape the anus. It's like.
Escape the Anus. That's the title.
Yeah, it's like Inception, but an anus.
Harrison Ford has got to be in Escape the Anus.
Get out of that anus.
It's too dark in here. Junior.
Dude, we cannot thank you for
thanks
coming
for coming by,
by
man.
Yeah, man, this
is
great.
So great.
We
Raw TV on Twitter and Instagram, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
Raw TV, Twitter.
And then,
what do you post on Instagram?
I need more followers.
Let's get some.
I got like 12 followers.
Yeah.
You got more than that.
Yeah. I got like Jesus. Jesus. He follows as Jesus. Hey, look how he turned out.
Yeah, yeah. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Meh, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.